On the front of today's notice sheet, we've copied some verses that the Apostle Paul records for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there he recounts certain truths about Christ. And he says that if these things are not so, then you may as well pack up your bags and go home and find something more worthwhile to do. Because the Christian faith is empty and powerless if these things are not so. But Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, writes Paul, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There are certain things, says Paul, and if these things are not so, then our faith is completely in vain. But these things are so, and our faith is not in vain. Or, as Paul put it when he wrote to the Colossian church, you are complete in Christ. Well, in what ways is our faith not in vain? Well, I'd invite you to have open that passage that we just read from Colossians chapter 2. And I want us to just look at verses 11 to 15, where Paul explains what it is that Christ actually accomplished for sinners through his death. But not only through his death. For if Jesus had only died, that would make him no different to all the Old Testament sacrifices, which also remain dead. That's one of the themes picked up by the writer to the Hebrews. What Jesus accomplished for sinners, he did through his death and through his resurrection. And so I want to just go through Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. And I want us all to be reminded of certain great things that mean that our faith is not in vain. Some of you won't believe me when I tell you that this sermon is not going to be anything like as long as normal sermons. Well, we'll wait and see. Because I just want to focus our thoughts on five simple key points from those verses that we read. I'm not going to dwell very long on each one of them. But if you're a Christian, as you face another week in a difficult world where it's hard to live for Christ, I want you to remember why your faith is not in vain. And if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you why I'm recommending him to you this evening. That you turn to him and put your trust in him. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. Why is our faith not in vain? First of all, because in and through the Lord Jesus Christ there is regeneration. In him, verse 11, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, verse 13, he has made alive. Together with him, God has made you alive. You who once were dead, he's made alive. A word that we use to describe all that is regeneration. Now, the apostle mentions circumcision there in verse 11. Circumcision is an outward sign of God's covenant. In Old Testament days, all the males who were born were circumcised. It was a physical sign upon them that they were under the covenant that God had established with his Old Testament people. It is, if you like, the membership card for the Jews. Over the years, there's been lots of talk about our own government introducing an ID card scheme, an identity card scheme, so that you can prove who you are. In Old Testament days, circumcision was so that people could prove who they were, an outward sign that they were part of God's covenant people. Now, the Apostle Paul, here and in other places, is teaching that that circumcision in the Old Testament was a temporary thing, and it was only ever a sign. And it was a sign that had a much deeper meaning and a much deeper reality to it. What counts, says Paul, is not the circumcision performed on the body by men, not that circumcision made with hands, but a different circumcision. A circumcision that's performed by God. That's the circumcision without hands that we read of in verse 11. It's the renewing work of God in the heart. That's what Paul means by the circumcision made without hands. It's the renewing work of God in the heart of a Christian believer. It's about being born again of God's Spirit. It's about being made a new creation. Now, this isn't actually something new. This is what God was always talking about. We read these words in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let me read verses 2 and 3, and then let me read verse 6, Deuteronomy 30. Return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. This verse is talking about a personal relationship with God. Return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. According to all that I command you today, you and your children, listen, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. This is way back in Deuteronomy. It's all about the heart, even then. Verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Why? For what purpose? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. This isn't a New Testament thing that suddenly come from nowhere. This is about regeneration. It was in the Old Testament and it still is today. It's about God circumcising your heart, separating you to himself, doing this wonderful, life-giving work in you. Do you know this? If you're a Christian believer, this is what God has done in you. This is why your faith is not in vain. This is what God has done to you, to your heart. He separated it to himself and made it alive. He's given life that you may love him with all your heart and soul, and walk with him. That's what it was always about. And it still is. Secondly, your faith is not in vain because of resurrection. Because of resurrection. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Now we all know that baptism in water is the outward sign of an inward grace that's already occurred. In baptism, we have a picture illustrating how the believer is savingly united to the Lord Jesus Christ. We died with him in his death, and we are raised with him in his resurrection. Remember how Paul includes the resurrection as a vital element of the gospel in the opening four verses of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, this is the gospel. And he doesn't stop at Calvary, he carries on. And he talks about the empty tomb 3 days later. All part of the gospel. Our salvation would have no worth if Christ is not risen. It's about resurrection. And we are raised to newness of life because Christ was raised from the dead. And of course, we have a future resurrection to look forward to. We will receive immortal bodies. And the guarantee of that is that Christ has already been raised into such a body. And we will have a body just like his. It's about regeneration and resurrection. New life in Christ for all of eternity. And this new life shows itself in a number of ways. And here are three. Points 3, 4, and 5. Number 3. Reconciliation. Your faith is not in vain because you have been reconciled to God. The end of verse 13 in Colossians 2. Having forgiven you all trespasses. How many of them? All of them. Every last one. And because of that forgiveness in which we now stand, we have reconciliation. Through Christ, as the once for all sacrifice, there is full forgiveness for all of our sins. Now, the word trespasses can be translated like this: deviation from righteousness and truth. Now that's how Isaiah explains it in that well-known verse in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's trespass. We've gone astray from God. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's what trespasses means. Deviation from righteousness and truth. We've wandered away from God. I wonder if you realize that. You've wandered away from God. Our sins have opened up this great chasm between me and God. My sins have done that. Your sins have done that. But forgiveness contains this idea that our sins have been separated from us, so that we are no longer separated from God. Now, let me just say that one more time if you've never heard that before. When God forgives you, God separates your sins from you so that you are no longer separated from God. The thing that kept you from him has been removed and dealt with at the cross. That which kept you from God has been removed by Christ at Calvary, so that we may now draw near to God and know that he will draw near to us. That's why our faith is not in vain, because we have been reconciled to God through Christ. There's another reason why our faith is not in vain, and that's righteousness. It's about righteousness. Verse 14 of Colossians 2. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he, Jesus, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What's this handwriting of requirements that was against us that's been wiped out? Well, it's the charge that's laid against sinners. It's the long list of crimes and offences that we've committed which put us in debt to God. We owe God big time for our sin. The holy law of God, the moral law of God, condemns us all. That's the handwriting of requirements that's against us. You should be like this, and none of us are. because you're not like this, you're guilty of that. Christ came to wipe out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. He's wiped it out. It's like receiving a final demand from the bank if you're in debt, and the bailiffs are parked in the van just around the corner, ready to come and seize your goods if you can't make good your debt. And before God, none of us can. But at Calvary, Christ has obliterated the law's demands towards the sinner. Jesus has cancelled the debt. But here's the great thing about the cross. Jesus hasn't just cancelled the debt. He puts us back in credit. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't just wipe out the debt and leave our bank balance at nil. You can't be in a neutral position with God. You're either for him or you're against him. In our sin, we're against him. Jesus makes you for him. He puts us in credit with God. How? Because the righteousness of Christ himself is put to my account. Here I was in all my sin and in all its degradation, all that I owed God. And that's been wiped away, and instead it's all been put onto this side, and I stand in Christ's righteousness. And having been in debt, it's not just that the debt is paid off. I've been put in credit to a limitless degree. All the riches of Christ are mine now. Will you live this week as though that's your position in him? God has put you into righteousness. You can't generate it yourself. You can't produce it yourself. God, the word the theologians use is imputes it. He makes it yours. It becomes yours. The demands of the law have all been fulfilled in Christ at Calvary, because his righteousness is now looked on by God as being your righteousness as well. And you are justified in his sight. Final reason for this evening why your faith is not in vain. Release. Release. Verse 15 of Colossians 2. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Here's something important that we all need to remember. Jesus didn't just die as a sacrifice. Now, Jesus did die as a sacrifice, but that wasn't all he did. He was a sacrifice, but he was more than a sacrifice. He rose victorious from the grave. Death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. He defeated and disarmed Satan so that we are released from his domineering power. The chains of sin and death and hell have been shattered, and you may now walk with him in his ways as a child of God with his spirit within you. Why? Because Christ has released you from the strains of sin. He's released you from Satan's stranglehold upon you. He's set you free. He's risen victorious. He's gone into the grave and out the far side. No one's ever done that before. Some people have been risen from the dead in the Bible, but they went into the grave and came back on this side again, only to die once more. Jesus went into the grave and came out on the far side. Satan couldn't hold him. Satan's defeated. You have been released. That's why your faith is not in vain, because that's what Jesus did. Christian friends, unbelieving friends, if you're amongst us, the Christian faith is not in vain. because God has accomplished in Christ everything that you stand so desperately in need of. You really are complete in Him. And as we face another week of unknowns and uncertainties and all kinds of things antagonizing against Christ and His church, we can be certain of one thing: our faith in Him is not in vain. Because Christ has done everything that we stand in need of. And His life in us will make that clear to the whole world. Let's pray. Father, we simply thank You for the completed work of Christ. Lord, has so much truth ever been wrapped up in two little words when Jesus said, "It's finished"? Oh, what Christ has finished on the cross. We thank You and praise You for our risen Saviour and Lord, for all that He has done. Lord, we pray that each one of us might bow before Him, that we might confess our sins, put our trust in all that He has done at Calvary and through His glorious resurrection, that we might know this newness of life that is found only in Him, that we might be set free from all of our sins, that we might know that forgiveness which separates us from our guilt and joins us once more to God through Christ. Oh Lord, that we might walk joyful in Him, that the world might see His love and His grace in our lives. Lord, we thank You for our Saviour. Amen.